You're listening to a Get Serial podcast. If you don't know, every day has a bit of a wacky theming sometimes. Today has a fun one that we'll get into a little bit later. We're going to talk about some other stuff as well. But before we can do that, we have some socials to plug.
We do. So if you want to keep up to date with everything Get Serial, go over to our Instagram, Get Serial Sin. You can see the playlist sometimes, if you're lucky, for our shows. You can see some snippets of interviews, maybe. Keep tuned. And also go to our TikTok, Get Serial Sin, where one day we will post.
We promise.
We do. We're just waiting for maybe. You specifically to follow us. Once you follow us, all the content's going to come flowing.
I'm watching that follow list.
Exactly. And if you want to check us out in the podcast form, go to any good podcast platform. Go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Omni FM. If we're not there, boo. It's a bad podcast platform.
And look, if it is worth mentioning, if you missed it, you can go check out our wonderful recent interview. Annabelle, what could they check out over there?
You could find our interview with Bunwei Zhao, who is an incredible Chinese-Australian writer, screenwriter, and producer. She was talking all things Chinese New Year. She was talking about her creative process and what it was like growing up in Australia as a fourth-generation Chinese-Australian.
Interesting. I'm definitely going to have give another listen. I was there. But with that, we do occasionally talk about some things that do get heavy, and sometimes people may need places to talk to and people to vent to. If you are one of those people, please feel free to reach out to Beyond Blue at 1300 224 636, Kids Helpline at 1800 55 1800, or QLife Helpline at 1800 184 527. If you do need them, please do reach out. There is no shame whatsoever. But with that, we're going to move along into our first song for tonight. And Annabelle, you chose this one. And I had a bit of a sneaky listen ahead of time. It's pretty good.
Would you say you had a little bit of a peek into the song?
Yeah, I think I had a little bit of a peek. And I don't know, I'm still waiting to hear more.
You know what? This is Still Waiting by Ansel Peak. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. Welcome. You just heard Get You Off My Mind by Velvet Trip, and before that was Still Waiting by Ansel Peak. And if you've been, you know, waiting for the news, wait no longer, because we are here to tell you everything that is going on in Melbourne and the world at large.
That's right. We've got you covered today, and we're going to hopefully not cover you in this first story. That was a terrible segue, and I apologise. So, measles cases have prompted health alerts in South Australia and Victoria after a one-year-old child had contracted measles while overseas, which prompted both, obviously, South Australia and Victoria, Victorian health authorities to issue a community alert. The child travelled from Dubai to Adelaide via Melbourne before presenting at Adelaide Women's and Children's Hospital Emergency Department on Thursday night. South Australian and Victorian health authorities, early morning, are urging anyone who isn't fully immunised against measles to be alert for symptoms, especially those who are in the same location as the child. Go get vaccinated, guys. Come on.
Yeah, and hopefully that kid makes a good recovery. It's a bit of a scary way to kind of start your day. But look, Taylor Swift has performed to her largest crowd ever in the MCG. She delighted the biggest crowd of her career as she opened the Australian leg of her Eras tour in Melbourne on Friday night. And it was packed with 96,000 of the luckiest Swifties, me, who managed to get tickets to the record-breaking global blockbuster. And look, I can say, I don't want to brag about it because I know it's a sore point for people. I got my tickets 2 hours before the show. She was incredible. I was there on Saturday night. She's beautiful. She's perfect.
I heard she came out early.
Did she? Maybe she did. I was just so excited to be there. I was not like, she was great. She was perfect. She is not human. And also, I now can never say a bad word ever about her because she's very cool. And she's a great performer.
Well, I've got to say, I am a little bit jealous, but I am not jealous of the passengers on an international flight that was forced to turn around after maggots fell on them. So a Delta Airline flight 133 departed from Amsterdam, Netherlands, bound for Detroit, Michigan. But 1 hour into the flight, the Airbus A330-300 had to turn around to Amsterdam's Schiphol Airport after maggots reportedly fell onto a passenger from an overhead bin. Apparently, Amsterdam is in a little bit of a panic now as they go through cancelling a lot of flights to re-clean the planes. And you know what? Rightfully so. Can you imagine that?
I think it's my new version of snakes on a plane, but it's actually
even
worse.
Little snakes.
Maggots on a plane would be like the worst thing I can think of.
I just hate the idea of them falling on you.
Yeah, my mum once had that with soup, actually. Someone had put soup in a Ziploc bag.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it spilled all on her. And the air hostess didn't really understand why my mum wanted to move seats.
Oh.
But, you know, people put a lot of weird things on planes. But speaking of things falling, unfortunately, the Japanese economy is also falling. So it's now mornings are hard. I agree, Bianca. Japan's economy is now the world's fourth largest after it went down in the last quarter of 2023 and fell behind Germany, losing its third spot. The government reported the economy shrank at an annual rate of 0.4% in October to December of last year, according to Cabinet Office data on real GDP released on Thursday. It slipped into a recession. Words are hard and money is difficult. Learn how to manage money.
It's a tricky thing.
It has slipped into a recession and it contracted 2.9% in July to September.
Definitely. I will say this. As much as this is bad news, it does mean flights to Japan are cheaper than they've ever been. So maybe that holiday is affordable for once.
And you know what? Go over there and boost the economy through tourism.
They are
silver
actually
lining.
Wanting people to go down there and boost the economy. So why not do both?
Help yourself, help Japan.
But something that is helping is the Prime Minister has weighed in after hundreds of Jewish Australians were doxxed, signalling new laws will be enacted. If you don't know what doxxing is, it's when you pretty much outright name someone completely, show their address, usually their IP address, and you leave them super, super vulnerable. So, for example, I would say, Annabelle, you live at 123 Real Street, and your phone number is blank, blank, blank.
Can't believe you just doxed me on air. Oh my God.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Live at live performance here. But Anthony Albanese has confirmed that the government will support a proposal to make doxing illegal after the private information of hundreds of Jewish Australian artists and creatives were published. The social media profiles, pictures, and the occupation of 600 Jewish Australians from a WhatsApp group was shared online in a downloadable spreadsheet, which the community said was a quote-unquote Nazi-era tactic. Victoria Police has confirmed it is investigating the release of its information, while the Prime Minister said his government took doxing seriously and would work with the Parliament to outlaw the practice. I think this is like a no-brainer. It should definitely be outlawed. The sooner the better. I thought it was already, but...
Well, it's hard because I feel like with the internet, laws move so slowly compared to the speed of the internet. So like all these new... Not that doxing's new, but all these newer practices, the law has to like run to catch up with. So I'm very pro doxing getting outlawed because, yeah, it's scary and it has real world implications. It's more than
Definitely.
Just, you know, something that's happening online.
Yeah, it's good to get rid of it. But something that is good is our next song. And it is a wonderful piece by another artist that you chose today. Could you let us know a little bit about Open My Door by Alice Phoebe Lowe?
I can tell you some things about this song. I think, for one, it's a genuine bop. It's by Alice Phoebe Liu, who is an incredible artist. And you know what? Some people say that when one door closes, someone else opens a window. But, you know, Alice says, no, I'll open my door instead.
Maybe you can open your ears and hear this one. Get Cereal on Sin. You just heard two incredible songs. They were They Don't Know How to Fall in Place by the Lemon Twigs. And before that was Open My Door by Alice Phoebe Lowe. Now, They Don't Know How to Fall in Place. I think they do know how to fall in place because they've got a little bit of an album falling in place and it'll be released very, very soon on the 3rd of May. It's called A Dream Is All We Know. And maybe you like me and you'll be dreaming of that album because you really like that song. But we do have some fun stuff to talk about. And of course, look, if you're listening, chances are you're in Melbourne. If you're not, seriously, where are you coming from? Like, message us on our Instagram, Get Cereal Sin, and let us know where you're listening from. But if you're in Melbourne, there's plenty of amazing things to do. If you're like me, a little bit like, oh, I miss some of the really cool Lunar New Year stuff, Well, you're not out of luck. The Lunar New Year boat racing takes place on the 25th of February, and it is celebrating the Lunar New Year, as obviously I said, with a boat racing festival on Victoria Harbour, where you can watch a 200-metre dragon boat race. Other highlights will include a tug of war with the boats, corporate racing, a dragon and lion dance, food trucks, and roaming entertainment. So if you want some of that action and you missed it last week, now's your chance to get it.
In terms of other things you can do, go see Rent the musical. If you're thinking, you know what, seasons of love are approaching, go down until March 7th and step into the vibrant streets of New York City's East Village, where dreams are born, friendships are tested, and the power of love prevails against all odds and experience. Jonathan Larson's electrifying multi-Tony Award musical, Rent. It's a very, very good show. And, you know, if you saw TikTok Boom all about Jonathan Larson and you want to see Rent finally, that he unfortunately never actually got to see because he passed away on the opening night, go down, watch it, let us know how you enjoyed it.
Definitely. I will just probably, like, quick thing with that. If I remember correctly, I could be thinking of a different musical. Pretty sure this one's not child-friendly, so do keep an ear out and keep an eye out for that one. Do check beforehand. But on the 25th of Feb, which is a very busy day, apparently, Enter the Dragon, Kung Fu, Ancient and New. I know that's a nice rhyme there, but if you want to go watch some live kung fu demonstrations, still celebrating the Lunar New Year, it is a chance to go do that at the Chinese Museum, where you can go check that out. It's a 90-minute performance, and it features Sifu Damien Chow Marutu and his team showcasing styles from Wing Chun in the lineage of the famous Yip Man to also show diverse styles of modern wushu. So it is a lot of fun to go just watch some really interesting fighting and a bit of, you know, a bit of kung fu if you like. It's a bad example, but if you like the old kung fu movies, you think you like 80s poorly dubbed movies, it's a great way to do it. If you like newer, like Marvel as well, go check that out. A lot of it takes from that.
And kind of keeping in theme with, you know, Chinese New Year and running until the 25th of Feb, we've got a focus on jazz, Zhangqi, apologies if I haven't quite said that right. So go visit Acme Cinema as they celebrate the underground champion underdog and experience the world through Jazz Zhangqi's uncompromising critical lens. The films shine a light on the plights of Chinese people left behind by the rapid social and economic changes in the country. Not to thwart progress, but to shift our focus to his deeply humanistic concerns. From artists left behind by China's opening to the capitalist market, to coal miners left out in the cold and provincial cities, forgotten through rapid urbanization, the camera is always concerned with the people of the People's Republic.
Definitely check that out. Sounds a bit like a bit of fun. Runs until the 25th of February. But if you want to check out some other movies, you can check out Heatsafe City's 48-hour film challenge, which runs from the 22nd to the 25th. Now, it is a film, the end of like a film challenge, early in late December even, there was a whole push for a bunch of female artists and female film producers to step up and make some short films regarding the heat wave that we were going through. Now, those movies and those films are actually being released and watched in public, so you can go watch those with a whole bunch of other people, give some feedback, maybe take some advice if you're a young filmmaker, see what people are doing. But that's a good way to enjoy your night. And we've got a couple more things.
And for one more Thursday, you can go see Standing Circle, which is a band directed by Larry Cristiani on guitar, with Sam Young on drums, Gareth Hill on bass. I know things. And Richard Rose on electric bass. So playing all original compositions, they organically blend traditional world music, funk, hip-hop, and sounds from all surroundings with a jazz attitude.
Ooh.
I know, it sounds very exciting. I'll definitely be heading down to the Motley Bauhaus, where they'll be workshopping new tunes for their upcoming first record and showcasing various special guests from the Melbourne Hotpot. The collective will offer its eclectic approach, painting different faces of solid grooves and colourful soundscapes. And you've got one more Thursday to go see that.
You know what? If you are looking for like a good date night, a jazz bar sounds like a really creative date night.
I think it sounds lovely. But something that's a bit less of a date is the 24th of February, which is War Animal Day. Bianca, what can we do to kind of show appreciation?
So on the 25th, the day after, the last post service happens. So in recognition of War Animal Day, the special last post service at the Shrine of Remembrance will pay tribute to all animals that took place that were a part of the war. So a bunch of war horses and war dogs and so on that may have died in the war or served in the war. If you do want to have a look, I do suggest you check that out. But with that, we're going to dive into our next couple songs. And I actually chose this song for this morning. And, you know, I thought there's an Aussie artist who embodies everything right and necessarily wrong with the Aussie music market. And it's Dean Lewis. And I mean that in a nice way to Dean. I'll explain that when we get back from the song. It is Trust Me, Mate by Dean Lewis. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. And just a quick warning, this song does have some scary, sweary words. So if that's not for you, feel free to turn down your radio for about 3 minutes and we'll be back then. Bye.
That was How Would You Know by The Grogans, who are a lovely Aussie-based, actually Melbourne-based trio of best friends creating kind of surf rock, and they are so much fun. If you haven't heard of the Grogans before, first of all, where are you? Second of all, go check them out. They make some really fun music. Before that, you heard Trust Me, Mate by Dean Lewis, who I think Bianca has a bit of information about.
Yeah, so Dean has a bit of a, not know him on the first name basis, best friends with him. Dean has a little bit of an interesting history with the Australian music system. So he tried to blow up down here originally when he was starting to really release music, and he just couldn't break out over here. However, he then moved up to the UK where he released his hit song, Be All Right, which blew up over there. I believe it hit number 2 on their Billboard, and that then blew up down here. He then came back down here and was able to release music and actually get somewhere with it. It was, I would say, a little bit embarrassing for the Australian music industry that someone was able to go overseas, get big, and come back and then be bigger because they couldn't do it here. But that's a conversation for a whole nother time, and I could spend hours on that one. But something else that spent hours was this child that we're going to talk about. So people are calling for adult-only flights after a child screamed for the entirety of a 29-hour flight.
Oh my gosh.
People have called for adult-only flights after a man shared his experience of a nightmarish 29-hour journey in which a baby cried constantly. Henry Beasley filmed himself being sent insane by the infant's piercing screams through the 17,700K trip from New Zealand to Germany. In a video on TikTok, Beasley wrote, "Rate my 29-hour flight to Berlin." The baby's cries could already be heard in the background as Beasley joked that it was a strong start for the flight. The TikTok then cuts to him later on in the flight with a miserable expression on his face as the deafening crying continues. How do we feel about this idea of child-free flights? I think I'm all for it.
I feel like it would be good. I think, first of all, I feel so bad for the baby and for the parents, obviously for all the passengers, but I feel like I always feel so guilty. You know when you have a baby crying on a plane and people being quite rude about it? That baby is like in pain because also their ears hurt and upsets their stomachs, and I always feel so bad for the babies and the parents who look so stressed.
Yeah.
So I feel like it'd be nice if, look, I mean, to be fair, no one wants to be on a plane for 29 hours of a screaming baby. Least of all, probably the parents as well, to be fair.
Yeah.
But it would be nice if people were able to have adult-only flights, especially for people who maybe like struggle with sensory overload.
Oh, or, yeah.
Like, I think it'd be really good to have. I think as long as we're not shaming parents, because I do see comments online of people saying, like, why would you even bring your baby on a flight? It's like, well,
because bringing them on a cruise is very expensive.
Exactly. And also, like, if you just say you're moving countries, are you going to be like, hey, see your baby who's 3 months old? I'll see you in a few years when I'm done with my job overseas, you know? Like,
yeah.
But it's not, people don't go on flights with babies for no reason. You know, there is a very good reason they're on the flight. So as long as we're not shaming parents and being weird about it, I think it would be very good to have adult-only flights.
I'm all for the idea of having them and having that be an option. Obviously not the norm. Mm. Maybe have it be a little bit more expensive to choose to fly without children on it.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't see where it necessarily goes wrong because it, in theory, would create more jobs because more people flying. And it would also just allow for more flights to leave the country. Honestly, it sounds like a really good idea. And I do think that, I honestly think that airplanes and airports and the companies behind them maybe have a little bit they could be doing to help alleviate these problems and maybe offer assistance more often to screaming children. Because I don't know, if you're on a plane for 29 hours and your baby's screaming for 29 hours,
that's so hard.
That's hard for you. That can permanently damage the child's voice. And I think that airports should have things in set in stone and ways to actually, like, you know, maybe the stewardess will walk up and be like, hey, here's something you can do. Here's a pacifier. Here's something that might entertain them or calm them down for a little bit. This might help. I don't know how I feel about the stewardesses and the people on there just not helping for 29 hours.
I think it's hard because, like, the fact is, also, if you're a parent dealing with your kid crying for 29 hours, that has to be so, like, emotionally stressful.
Yeah.
That's a really hard situation because you feel like everyone hates you. You feel like you can't help your baby who's really upset. And it's really hard. I feel like you'd hope that other people were trying to help or at least being supportive because it's not as if anyone is like, you know, my baby's going to cry for 29 hours and I don't care. You know, like they will be trying everything they can to try to kind of be helping. It's a hard situation. I think adult-only flights are good because for people who really can't stand it, they can go on this flight if they want. And then, yeah, hopefully it's good. As long as, you know, parents could still actually get flights that allow them to...
Always should be the option. But you know what? Let us know what you think on our Instagram. I'd actually love to know what people think about this. Hit us up on Get Serial Sin on Instagram. Let us know. Hit us up in our DMs. Or you can check us out on our email and send us through information there. But with that, we're going to dive into our next song. And it's by an Aussie, actually. Here is Green Path by Christopher Larkin. My favourite, or maybe second favourite, composer of all time. Definitely my favourite Aussie composer. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. Everything Is Now by Jess Ribeiro. And before that was Green Path by Christopher Larkin, who is a wonderful Adelaide-based composer. So if you do like the sounds of that, honestly, check it out. He was the composer for a beautiful game, Hollow Knight, which was also made in, believe it or not, Adelaide. It is one of my favourite games of all time, if not my favourite game. Go check it out. And if you're like me, get hopeful and understand that you'll never hear about it again when it comes to its sequel, Silksong. So do just keep an ear out, get excited. But with that, before that, actually, Jess Rubo, Ribeiro, check her out as well. She has an upcoming album and she's actually on tour at the moment. She is a NAMM-based artist and I don't know about you, I quite like the sound.
She's great. I think more Jess Ribeiro.
Definitely. But something that I don't think I could ever get sick of are muffins. So tomorrow is International Muffin Day. And we decided to do something that, you know what, we haven't done for a little while. We haven't done some lot since last year, really.
We're bringing it back.
We are going to do a little BuzzFeed quiz to see what kind of muffin Get Serial is.
It's very fitting considering a muffin is, I would say, a breakfast food. We're a breakfast show. You got to celebrate the important days. And International Muffin Day, it's one of the top ones.
It's on my calendar every year. But I do have to ask, what's your favourite muffin?
Oh, I have so many options. Okay, I make, not to toot my own horn, a really good blueberry muffin with a crumble on top. Delicious. Very good. I like that. I do like a lemon poppy seed sometimes, but blueberry muffin is my go-to with the crumble on top. I feel like I'm a simple gal. I like a classic. What about you?
I think I'm going to go a little bit too sweet here and say that it is maybe the double choc. Something that is just amazing about it. It does get a bit of rich, but it might also be something I've tried only ever once because I only ever saw it once. the choc blueberry.
That would be good.
Which blew my mind.
Oh, actually, hang on. I'm going to add. If we're going niche, I love a white chocolate raspberry pistachio muffin. Ooh. That is like my dream flavor combination.
That sounds very good.
It's so good.
But we're going to find out how good we are or would be as a muffin. So our first question, we have to choose a Disney princess. We have a choice between six of them. So Aurora, Tiana, Cinderella, Moana, Rapunzel and Belle. Do you have a favourite Disney princess by chance?
When I was little, it was definitely Ariel. I will say now, she's not my favourite, but I do love Rapunzel. I'm a Rapunzel girly.
I'm definitely leaning towards Rapunzel.
Let's go Rapunzel.
Alrighty. So Rapunzel it is. Now we have to choose a type of donut. Now I'm going to read these out and I'm going to let you choose for here because I think I'm a little bit biased on this. We have a powdered sugar donut, a glazed donut, Boston cream donut, a cake donut with sprinkles, an apple cider donut, and I think what is the right option? A cereal donut.
Look, I'm going to say I don't like donuts. I have to admit it.
Really?
They are not good. But, you know, this is Get Cereal. It would
be
wrong
to
pick anything else. Let's go cereal donut.
Moving on, we have to choose a candy. So we have M&M's, Laffy Taffy, which is just little bits of taffy, Kit Kat, Starburst Jelly Beans, Twix, and Reese's Pieces.
What's your heart saying to you, Bianca?
Everything but Reese's Pieces stands out to me. I do not like peanut butter.
Do you reckon M&M's?
I think M&M's or jelly beans. I'm going to go with M&M's for this one.
Let's do it.
Choose an old Disney show. The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Very sweet.
Bit of a classic. Hannah Montana.
Best of both worlds, I'd say.
Wizards of Waverly Place. Kim Possible, That's So Raven, and Lizzie McGuire.
Oh,
have you seen all of these?
Of course. I have seen every single one of these, and it makes it really hard to pick.
My mind is going honestly towards either Lizzie McGuire or Kim Possible, but I could also maybe lean towards Wizards.
You know, I'm going to say Kim Possible because I'm feeling Ron Stoppable this morning.
You know, I feel that.
Let's do it.
Kim Possible, and we have to choose a meal. And you know what? I think I'm just going to choose this for us. It has breakfast, brunch, lunch, dinner, dessert, and snack. We're a breakfast radio show, guys. Come on. Has to be breakfast.
Beautiful. I have a question. Okay, before we get to the answer, by the way, because we're getting closer, what's the muffin you don't want it to be? Like, what's worst case scenario?
Ooh, I think just a plain muffin.
Oh, like a no-flavour muffin?
Yeah, something like that would be the worst we could get. Maybe a savoury muffin as well, like an egg and bacon. Very split on those.
Yeah, okay. If we get that, we're retiring. We're actually just walking out of the studio.
Definitely. Moving on, though, we have our next one. So lemonade, water, soda or soft drink, smoothies, beer or LaCroix, which is essentially flavoured water.
I'm going to say lemonade.
I can go with some lemonade.
A homemade lemonade's always good.
And I think our third last question. Choose a movie series. Star Wars, Harry Potter, Hunger Games, Pirates of the Caribbean, Fast and Furious, or Toy Story?
You know, in fitting with our theme of being a breakfast show, I'm going to say the Hunger Games because I'm feeling a little hungry.
You know what? I'm going to go with it. We have to choose a restaurant chain. Now, a lot of these are American, so we're going to have to take a guess as to which one we would eat at. We have IHOP, Olive Garden, Texas Roadhouse, Buffalo Wild Wings, Red Robin, or Domino's.
Okay, I'm curious to see if you're on the same page. I'm thinking IHOP, International House of Pancakes, very breakfast themed.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking. It's like a breakfast place.
You know, I'm thinking IHOP, yeah.
Let's do it.
And our last question. Choose a dessert. Brownies, an ice cream sundae, a glazed donut pie, cheesecake, cookies, or a chocolate melting cake, or a volcano cake, as we know it down here.
I'll let you choose. I feel like this is a big one.
It's cheesecake. It's always going to be cheesecake for me.
Let's do it. Drum roll, please.
Ooh.
I am delighted.
I'm happy with that. We, as Get Cereal, are a blueberry muffin. I would love for you guys out there to go through, do the quiz yourself, and let us know what you end up being. Maybe we can have a little bit of a muffin-based chat. But with that, We are going to dive into another song. But before we do, Annabelle's just going to remind you where you can find us on our socials.
You can find us at Get Cereal on Instagram, where we'd love for you to tell us what kind of muffin you are. Are you a classic like blueberry muffin, or are you something more rare, like a poppy seed muffin? Let us know at Get Cereal Sin on Instagram or on TikTok. You can also check out our podcast at any good podcast platform, really. You can go to Spotify, Omni FM, or Apple Podcasts.
You can definitely do that. But we have a bit of a surprise one for you. Here is Jafar Jackson, nephew of Michael, with one of his tunes, Got Me Singing. You're listening to Get Cereal on Sin. Sin Media acknowledges and pays respect to the people of the Woiwurrung and Boonwurrung language groups of the Eastern Kulin Nations, on whose unceded lands the Sin Office Studios stand. We respectfully acknowledge and pay respect to the elders, past and present. We extend this respect to the traditional custodians of the lands and waters where Sin content is produced and where Sin content reaches, and on which Sin partner organizations stand. Sovereignty has never been ceded, and no treaty was ever signed. Always will, always was, and always will be Aboriginal land.
Hello, everyone. You just heard the brilliant song Oysters in My Pocket by Royal Otis. I've never had oysters in my pocket, but I will say the song is inspiring me to start. And before, you heard a song that got me singing.
Yes, you did.
It was by Jafar Jackson, who, you know, you might notice the last name. It is a popular last name, but they're actually Michael Jackson's nephew.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool.
He released a new song, and it's one I'm thinking we might play Friday, just to hype it up a little bit. It's called, I think it's Return or Rebirth of Michael off the top of my head. It's very good. He's also just very good. He's just starting his career, and I gotta say, he just sounds like Michael. Like, he sounds like peak, maybe bad's just released Michael. It's so good. It's very off-putting, actually, how similar he sounds.
It's what I will say, it sounds like it runs in the family, because you've got, like, the Jackson 5, Janet Jackson. They're incredible singers, all of them. His daughter, I think, might be releasing music.
I'll have to double check that.
I don't know. I'll double check if I'm wrong with that. But basically, everyone in that family is insanely talented. Go check out his music, and we'll be playing it on Friday as well, hopefully. But, you know, with that, let's get into what we've got coming for the rest of the show. We have got a very exciting little discussion coming up all about the BAFTAs, which has just been announced. So if you want to hear who won, who got snubbed, stay tuned in. But before we get into that, I do just want to plug our socials. You can find us at Get Cereal Sin on Instagram and TikTok. And come follow us, check us out, send us a message. I promise it is always a fun place to be. And you get to have a little bit of a sneak peek into what's coming in future episodes. So you get to feel very cool, like an insider.
Definitely check it out. But of course, sometimes we do talk about some things that end up being a little bit heavy. If you or anyone you know feels like they may need someone to talk to, please don't hesitate to check out Beyond Blue at 1300 224 636, Kids Helpline at 1800 55 1800, or QLife Helpline at 1800 184 527. But with that, we're going to dive into our next song. And Annabelle, this is one that you actually chose and kind of got ready that I'm not too familiar with.
Yes, I actually stumbled across this band very recently. They're called Boy Scott, and this song is called Nova Scotia 500.
You're listening to Get Cereal and Sin. You just heard two incredible songs. They were Homesick by Noah Kahan, featuring Sam Fender, and before that was Nova Scotia. Nova Scotia 500 by Boy Scott. Now, look, this wouldn't be us if we didn't play some Noah Kahan every now and then. Well, Noah, if you're listening, there's a couple free seats here if you want to, you know, hop in, join us, say hi. We'd always be down to have you. But something that we're always down for are awards. That sounds very full of ourselves.
Just nominate us. You know, the Oscars are coming up. There's not yet a best radio show section.
We'd win every year.
Oh, my God.
That's why there isn't.
They're just afraid because we'd just sweep the Oscars, wouldn't we?
Exactly. We're too good.
But right now, we have got the BAFTAs. All the results have just kind of been released. So if you don't know, the BAFTAs are, I believe, the British Acting Film Television Awards.
I believe so.
And I recently learned as well, that, you know, a little man called Prince William, you may have heard of him, is actually the president of the BAFTAs. It seems unfair to get to be a prince and a president at the same time.
What else does he want?
You know what? He's got it all. But look, I wanted to discuss the winners and the nominees because we've had a lot of interesting results come out this morning.
We did.
Do you know any of the films that have been kind of nominated, or are you kind of just coming into this?
I'm a little bit blind with it. I know that there's a couple films that had some strong showings, and there's a couple films that may have gotten snubbed a little bit. Let's get into that.
So a lot of, basically, Oppenheimer and Poor Things sweeped. I haven't seen either of them.
I've seen Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer is brilliant, and I actually think it kind of got snubbed at the Oscars, so I'm okay with it getting some awards here.
Okay, that's good. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen Poor Things. I've really been wanting to, but I just, you know, when you keep trying to make a showing and it's always like sold out, which
yep.
is probably a good sign that, you know, it's a good film. But let me kind of run you through what got nominated for Best Film, and I want to see if you can guess. Although you might have heard for Best Film because the results have kind of come out this morning. You had Anatomy of a Fall, you've got The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, or Poor Things. Poor Thing, I thought it was called. Poor Things, yes.
So I've only really heard of two of these and Poor Things just a minute ago. I've only heard of Oppenheimer and Killers of the Flower Moon. Now, I've seen both of them.
Yeah.
They're both good. Killers of the Flower Moon is very flawed, though.
Interesting.
It has to have been Oppenheimer. Like, I mean, I feel like it's the movie of last year. It might just be, honestly.
You are 100% correct. It was Oppenheimer. It's interesting you say Killers of the Flower Moon is flawed because I haven't seen it. I did read the book and I thought, because it's a true story. The story itself is fascinating. I didn't think the writing was my style. Like, so I thought it was good for the story, not the writing. And I wonder what the film's like.
My opinion on the film pretty much boils down to it is a very good film. It reminds you that Leonardo DiCaprio and De Niro are very good actors. Not saying that the supporting cast isn't very good as well, but it just lingers a little while too long. It's a very long film. I think it's like 3 hours long, and it could shave off like an hour and a half.
I think we're letting films run too long.
Yeah.
Just in general. Like, obviously, some films can do that, but not every film has to be 3 hours, and that's the trend.
It's also worth mentioning it's very much Oscar bait.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it goes in the Oscars, actually. But, look, I wanted to ask you, have you seen any of the animated films that have been nominated?
Hit us.
So we've got The Boy and the Heron.
Very good.
I haven't seen it.
Very good.
Because my beautiful Robert Pattinson is there, and he is voice acting as if his life depends on it. You've got Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget.
I have not seen that.
I have personal beef, or personal chicken, I might say, with Chicken Run because there was such a good film. It was called song called No More Birthdays that was written for Chicken Run, and then they cut it. And I love that song.
Oh.
It's such a good song. So anyway, that's my personal chicken. We've got Elemental and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which I feel like was released a million years ago now. I don't understand how it's being nominated.
No, I get that. No, that was the sequel that was released early last year.
Oh, was it Into the Spider-Verse, the first one?
Yeah, Into the Spider-Verse, then Across the Spider-Verse, and whatever the third's going to be called.
Between the Spider-Verse.
It might be something like that. Honestly, I could see this going to Boy and the Heron or Spider-Verse. I don't think anything else was anywhere near as good. My money's going to lean towards Spider-Verse, but I could totally see Ghibli walking away with one here on Boy and the Heron.
It was Ghibli. I like
Not surprised.
To think it was, you know, Robert Pattinson really leaning into the voice acting that did it.
Acting of the year, if you ask me. It was that
so
good.
In terms of best original screenplay, we've got Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Maestro, or Past Lives, which I haven't seen, but I do want to. Are you going into this blind?
I'm not sure what would win here. I actually don't know. I got nothing.
It was Anatomy of a Fall.
Oh, I'm not familiar with it. Maybe I should check it out.
You should. I should check it out because I actually had tickets and then got a migraine right before the show.
Oh.
But it was meant to be really good. And look, I don't want to go on too long, so I think I might give you one or two more categories. We've got Best Leading Actor, Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers, Barry Keoghan for Saltburn, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, and Teo Yu for Past Lives.
See, my mind is going to go to the holdovers for Paul Giamatti because underrated actor, he does such a good job in that. Saltburn, I wish, look, I know people love it. I've seen things on TikTok. I don't want to know much more about it. But it has to go to Cillian Murphy. It's the big movie.
It was. It was Cillian Murphy with Oppenheimer.
Silly little guy.
He's so silly, that Cillian. And look, we've got to do best leading actress as well. We've got Fantasia Barrino for The Color Purple, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall, Carey Mulligan for Maestro, Vivian Opera for Rye Lane, Margot Robbie for Barbie, and Emma Stone for Poor Things.
Surely it goes to Margot.
You know, if you thought it went to Margot, you'd be going down the wrong track.
Oh.
Because it went to Emma Stone for Poor Things. So Oppenheimer and Poor Things really swept the season, I will say, with BAFTAs. They did very well. I think, Past Lives, Poor Things got 5 awards, I want to say, and Oppenheimer got a lot.
As I said, I think Oppenheimer really deserves it. It was that good. I will ask one more.
Yes,
best score.
Best original score. So we've got a few. We have got Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Saltburn, Poor Things, Oppenheimer, or Killers of the Flower Moon.
So it has to be Spider-Man. Like, that soundtrack is incredible.
You're
it really
it?
Has to be. I would be disappointed if it isn't.
What would you do if it wasn't?
I'd leave this room.
Well, in that case, goodbye, Bianca. It was not that. It was not Spider-Verse. It was actually Oppenheimer.
No, I'm out. Bye.
Bye. It's just going to be me for the rest of the show, and I'm just going to tell you all about my Taylor Swift experience. There you go. Anyway, now that Bianca's gone, I will say, go to Get Serial Sin and sign up to be a new volunteer because you can join us and be my new co-host because Bianca is no longer coming back into the studio. But you know what? With that, I will say, I'll let Bianca in. We miss her too much. Damn. I was saying that they should come to sign up and be the new co-host, but I missed you too much. So tell you what, we're going to have Bianca, who has come back after I begged and pleaded with her.
I couldn't stay away for too long.
She can't stay away, and you shouldn't stay away either. Come sign up, be a volunteer with us. And, you know, let us know on Get Serial Sin on Instagram if you think anyone was snubbed at the BAFTAs or if you think the right people got the right awards.
Definitely, but we're going to move into our next song, and it's a pretty good song, if you're asking me. One of our Sweet 16, you can check it out every single week at sin.org.au, or, of course, on the Sunday Sweet Show at 5 p.m. every Sunday. Here is Cathedral City by Ducks Limited. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin.
That was Letting Go by Angie McMahon.
McMahon.
However you want to say it, she is a great artist who is actually going on tour soon. So maybe go check out her socials to see when she's playing near you. Before that, you had Cathedral City by Ducks Limited, which is part of our Sweet 16, which you can check out at, on Sundays on air, or you can go to sin.org.au if, like me, you're a bit sleepy and, you want to see it now as opposed to waiting till next Sunday.
No, totally. But something that you might want to see now is this story that I found on Reddit. So we're doing our little, am I the bad person, let's say. And I have one that you might be interested in. So the premise for this one is, am I the bad person for breaking up with my girlfriend after she rejected my proposal twice?
Ooh, immediately. I don't know, because I feel like I could see it going either way. I'm curious to see how it kind of turns out.
Well, let's dive in. So, and I quote, Sierra and I have been dating for 4 years. That's a pretty decent time. I absolutely love her and felt she was my soulmate. I knew I wanted to propose 2 years into dating, but decided to wait one more year so that I could get in a better situation financially. Fair enough. Last year, I proposed. It was a private proposal on the beach where we went for our first date.
That's cute.
She looked at me and said, I want to marry you, but not right now. She said she wasn't in the right space personally to get engaged and to give her some time. That stung, but I was okay with it. After all, I put off proposing so I could be in a good position. It's only fair to give her the chance.
So far, it's very healthy for Reddit, which scares me. Everyone's very mature so far.
Hmm. It's been a year since, and I decided to propose again. This time, I asked our friends to help me set it up because I wanted to do something nicer. We orchestrated a nice dinner and a proposal in front of a nice fountain in the city's botanical garden. Everything was ready. Dinner went great, and she went to the fountain. She saw the roses and everything, and then I got down on one knee and asked her to marry me. She teared up and told me, "Not just yet."
Ooh.
This stung really bad. I knew I wanted her in my life forever, but this is the second time she turned me down. I asked her why, and she told me the same thing as last year. I asked her if someone was holding her back, maybe family or a friend, and she just said, "I just want to make sure that this will work."
Oh.
This hurt more than the two rejections. I told her after 4 years, if she isn't sure, then what the hell will make her sure? She asked me to give her some time, and I told her no. I told her that I'm not going to keep wasting my time and love if she's going to keep saying no. I told her that I can't do this anymore. She began begging me not to leave and said, "Fine, I'll marry you. Just please don't go."
There's no way you'd be like, "Actually, you know what? That makes me so happy. Yeah, you sound delighted to marry me. Let's do it." Yeah.
That made me mad, but I didn't say anything. I left. My phone has been blowing up with some of our friends, her parents, and her telling me that I'm a butthole for throwing away a 4-year relationship because she said no, and that I was being a big baby and that she needed some time. The other half of our friends aren't on my side, but they're not on hers either. I don't think I'm the bad guy for this. Did I overreact? Am I a bad guy? If so, how much more time am I supposed to give her? He does edit here, saying that we are both 29 years old, and the second proposal wasn't done in front of the friends. They just helped him prepare it.
You know what? I have to say, he is very organized, because those are the two questions I actually had, was the age and whether it was in front of the friends. I don't think he's the bad person. I don't think anyone in this situation is necessarily the bad person.
There is a third edit, if I may quickly.
I take it all back. Everyone's bad.
So, and I quote, "We had discussed marriage shortly before I proposed the first time. She was into it and even told me that she couldn't see herself with anyone else. She seemed eager about the idea of marriage, which is why I was shocked the first time and angry the second."
See, it's such a hard situation. I feel like, especially because I was going to say, look, maybe he hadn't really checked with her, and marriage is an important thing. I feel like we have this idea that a proposal should be a surprise. I don't think it should be. It should be something you definitely talked about with your partner. But he had, and she sounded like she was keen. Look, to summarize a Taylor Swift quote, you know, sometimes you don't know the answer until someone's on their knee in front of you. But it's a hard situation. I think it sounded like in the beginning everyone was very emotionally mature about it, because you can understand someone needs time but still find it really hard to kind of keep going with a relationship after getting rejected. That's a very vulnerable moment.
Definitely.
And he understood. It sounded like they dealt with it really well. It was good she was comfortable enough to tell him that she needed more time. The second time, it's hard because it's good she didn't just say yes because she felt guilty or she felt like, oh, you know, I've already said no once. But also I can understand why he doesn't want to stay, because also, say next time he asks and she says yes, say she's finally ready, he's going to be like, is she ready or does she just know she can't reject me a third time? You want someone who wants to marry you 100% sure.
No, that's exactly it. And
yeah, it's just, you would never know if the third time was a yes or a no. And, you know, it's less important for guys, I guess, because there's less of a biological timeline if you want to have children, but also you don't want to, what if he waits another 2 years and he asks and she says, you know what, like, I don't think I'm ever going to be ready to marry you. You know?
Well, that's the thing. Like, as much as, yeah, women tend to have a bit of a timeline in their head of when they want to get married, or by this time, around this time in my life, men also have that same kind of thought process. And I feel like, specifically in this, the one line that gets me is, I just want to make sure that this will work. Mm. I'm kind of with him. 4 years in, and you've talked about it, he's already proposed once. You want to be pretty sure by then.
That's true. And also, that's the thing. It's not like the second proposal was a surprise. You know, she'd known that he'd proposed once. Maybe he could have talked to her a bit more beforehand, before the second one. But She obviously knew it was something, but she kind of had to decide. And you can't just leave someone waiting forever. I don't think that's fair to them. Even if you love someone, you kind of have to love them enough to let them go if you know that you want different things. And, yeah, no, it's a hard one. Also, I was going to say, if it was like 4 years in and they met when they were 17,
fair enough,
you know. But I feel like, by that point, you should know. If you're almost 30, you should be at a page where you're like, you know what? I love this person, but I'm not going to get married. Or I am going to get married. You can't afford to dilly-dally.
Yeah, there is a point where you're just stringing them along. And look, I mean, to this dude, I think he deserves someone that he's going to get what he wants out of. And I think she deserves someone who she's going to get everything she wants out of. But I don't think they're going to get that out of each other.
It does make me really sad, though, that she was saying that she would marry him so he wouldn't leave. They obviously love each other, but sometimes love isn't enough.
Sometimes you need to be in a healthy spot yourself before and love yourself properly before you can love others. But something we do love is our Sweet 16. And you can hear this song, Hold It, by Split System, on that playlist. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. Invisible by Shadow Academy. And before that was Hold It by Split System. And you know what? We kind of feel invisible because you can't see us, but you can hear us. And if you want to be invisible like us, hey, there's a way to do so. You can, of course, join us on Sin. You can join us on Get Serial. You don't even have to join Get Serial, although we'd love to have you. You can join any show you like. If you want to join Player One, talk about video games. Mosh Pit, talk about metal. If you want to talk about sports, we have a show for you. You want to talk about breakfast cereals? Hi, how are ya? Sin is recruiting. Get Serial is recruiting. And Annabelle, what kind of people are we recruiting?
We are recruiting lots of fun people who want to talk about anything and everything going on in Melbourne, who love breakfast time, or, you know, maybe they don't like breakfast time, but they want to find a reason to love the mornings. Come join us. It is so much fun. It is the best way to start your day. And there's nothing like getting up early in the morning and doing a radio show and being done by 10 and feeling very productive.
And you know what? Maybe you don't want to talk. You know, that's fair. I get that. If you're looking for somewhere to learn how to do some audio editing, not going to lie, we wouldn't be against an editor. If you'd love to do some video editing, that makes our lives easier. If you would love to do some journalism, just maybe some writing, hey, we have plenty of opportunities that come through our doors and come through our emails that maybe you'd enjoy. I know we get plenty of movie and invitations. Do you want to review a movie with a special screening audience? Go do so. Come join us. Get Serial Sin. You can do so by checking out sin.org.au/get-involved. The recruitment and the induction right now is actually 66% off and is pretty cheap right now. And as well, we are hosting even more induction dates throughout the later end of February. So please do check them out if you are considering it. If you know someone who's considering it, let us know. And if you are a younger kid listening in, one, why aren't you at school? And two, let your teachers know that you're interested in radio, or maybe they should check us out. Maybe they can come down and you guys can check everything out. But with that, we're going to dive into our next song for today, and it is our second last song for today. It is One Day at a Time by The Prize. You're listening to Get Serial on Sin. Ultramarine by Takashi Tateshi, T-Lobes, and Harumi Fujita. And before that was One Day at a Time by The Prize. Two incredible songs. The one you just heard is actually a remix from three incredible, somewhat new composers on the scene from Mega Man X. I've got to say, I love that tune. Love a bit of an instrumental banger like that. And the sax was beautiful. But something that is beautiful is the outside.
It is.
And I think it's about time that we, you know, we hung it up for tonight. We went outside, we enjoyed this beautiful maybe sun. I actually don't know, we can't see outside from here. Of course, it is coming to the end of the show, so thank you so much for joining us today. If you do have any tips, feedback, or anything you'd like us to know, let us know on our Instagram, GetSerialSin on Instagram. You can also hit us up on TikTok if you want to, where we will post eventually. That's GetSerialSin. We would definitely try. And if you want to, you know, maybe you missed the episode and you're like, wow, I would have loved to have heard you guys talk about the kid that cried on a flight for 29 hours straight. Fair enough. That's an interesting story. Check us out on the podcast realm. GetSerialSin on Instagram, yes. But you can also check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Omni FM. And literally where anywhere else good podcasts can be found. But with that, we're getting towards the end of the show. But what can people expect for our wonderful Friday show?
Ooh, well, we've got a few famous faces. Maybe people who have worked in other industries than just music will be appearing. Ooh. Well, not actually appearing, but their music will be appearing. We're going to be talking about a lot of exciting things. And we might be tracking down Michael Jackson's nephew's new release, which I have been promised sounds exactly like Michael Jackson. So if you want to hear the hottest music, hear what's going on, you know, have a good roundup of the week, maybe a few recommendations from us, your local tastemakers, tune in on Friday, because we'd love to have you there. And send us a message if there's anything in particular you think we should talk about.
Definitely. We'd love to hear it. But otherwise, thank you so, so much for joining us, and we will see you the same Get Serial time on Friday. Thank you.
Auf Wiedersehen.